Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Welcome to Center Point. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Anbar. In this show, we will discuss ways that we can journey to our own centers. This can help us access our inner resources to improve our physical abilities and health, our mental strength, our emotional well-being, and our spirituality. And today I'm very glad to welcome our special guest, Rhea. Hello, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you.
Rhea, let me tell the audience a little bit about you. Rhea is 17 years old. She was born in Santa Rosa, California, and have lived in various places before moving to San Diego, I guess it's more than 6 years ago. She has a severe milk allergy, and this is the reason we invited Rhea to be on the show is that she has worked through her milk allergy with the aid of hypnosis. She worked with one of my colleagues, Amy Chambers. She attends Canyon Crest Academy as a senior, and she plans to go to college. She's interested in international relations, dance, and soccer. And her motto is, everything happens for a reason. So I'm so excited to talk to you because I've heard a lot of great things about you, Rhea. So maybe you can share a little bit about how you came to, how you dealt with your milk allergy, the milk allergy before you met Amy Chambers, and then what kind of work you did with her. So let's start with, what were your symptoms?
Yeah, okay, so basically I've always had to deal with like the milk allergy all throughout my life. And before I moved to San Diego, I lived in Santa Rosa first, then Connecticut, and then the Bay Area for about 6 years in the Bay Area. So I dealt with anxiety off and on. I went to a therapist, I believe when I was about 8 years old for an unrelated stressor and to like my food allergy. And I've always kind of like thought it was like my life and that's just how it's going to be. And I never really consider that I could help it in some ways before I came to Center Point Medicine. And so I kind of just dealt with it. It wasn't really consuming my life until I started oral immunotherapy as a freshman in high school. And so that is when I first started coming to see Amy because that change in my life from just always avoiding to then having to eat it really kind of it was hard to deal with, and so I decided to come to Amy because of that.
So let's back up. Before you even started immunotherapy, what were your symptoms? How bad is your allergy? Like, if it touches your skin, does it affect you?
So before I started oral immunotherapy, I did have anaphylaxis one time when I was 5 years old, and I get, like, when I was younger, as a baby, I would get hives if anyone touched me or kissed me and they just had milk or some sort of milk product. When I was about 4 years old, I was eating like baked dairy and my parents didn't know. It was at my nanny actually, and she was giving me goldfish. And so it was interesting because at that point I was able to have baked dairy. I had goldfish and like cheese crackers and I was totally fine. But then when I was 5 years old, we had just moved back to California, the Bay Area, and we were visiting my grandparents, and basically my mom and my sister were taking a nap. My dad and my grandpa, they were in another room. And my grandma, she mixed up the dairy and the non-dairy cheeses, and she gave me a piece of dairy cheese, which I did not know was dairy, and I had a bite of that. And what I remember and what people have told me, because I was only five, I don't know exactly how I looked or anything like that, but basically I felt funny right away. Like, I didn't feel right. I felt like I was, like, very swollen. My lips were, like, puffy and almost numb-like. I felt, like, really itchy in my mouth everywhere. And so my dad was called. My mom got up, and she was like, oh, my gosh, wow. My, like, entire body was covered in hives. I was, like, swollen all over. And so at that point, we didn't know, except at the time, the doctors would always say, like, take Benadryl right away. If there's any, like, exterior reactions, take Benadryl. That was the solution back then. And so my parents called the doctor. We were going to Stanford, actually, and they said to give me Benadryl. And so that helped the exterior reactions of the hives, the swollen lips, puffy face, all of that. But then about, I'd say, like, 30, 40 minutes later, I was, like, feeling tired. So I was, like, taking a nap. And then I got up about 50 minutes later after I had the Benadryl, and my exterior reaction started to fade away. I got up, and I was like, oh, my gosh, I need to, like, throw up. So I started throwing up. And then at that point, because the doctor said if it moved to, like, an internal organ or system, to give me the EpiPen. So my dad gave me the EpiPen at that point, and it was really scary because I didn't know what that feeling was like. I'd always heard, like, you need to avoid dairy, all that stuff, and I never thought, like, that could happen to me, you know? And so it was really scary for both me and my parents. We went to the hospital, and they basically examined me. They made sure that the one EpiPen worked, and I didn't need a second. I was given prednisone, and then basically they told my parents, like, you saved your child's life. And that was really hard for my mom, especially because she then became really anxious, and that kind of, like, anxiety kind of carried over to me as well. And so after that point, I did not consume any dairy whatsoever until my freshman year. So
just to clarify something, so EpiPen is epinephrine or adrenaline, and people use that as an injection if you have an allergic reaction. And so you didn't have to have a breathing tube placed. Sometimes this gets really bad and the airway gets closed. That didn't happen, fortunately.
Yeah, no. Fortunately, it did not happen for me.
But that was a scary enough episode that your mom became anxious and you got nervous about it as well. So, again, before you started immunotherapy, which we'll talk about, how did it affect your life? Like, could you go to restaurants, or how does that work?
Yeah, so, I mean, after that, we didn't go to any restaurants. It was very much like we make the food at home. Like, we got rid of all the dairy in our house. My sister didn't eat it. My parents didn't eat it. They only, like, maybe ate it outside of the house if they, like, my sister, she was still a kid as well, so, and she's also younger, so she's only known that kind of life, and so she, would only eat the dairy if, like, it was at, like, a birthday party or something. And for me, I never ate it or never even, like, tried to, like, be in the environment with it. I didn't go to restaurants at birthday parties, especially at school. I brought my own food, or I just wouldn't eat any food that was offered at my family and friend's house. I wouldn't eat any of the food. So I became very anxious, where I just didn't want to step outside of that comfort zone of, like, just fully avoiding anything that could put me at risk. And so, yeah, it was very kind of a bubble in some ways, like, of the life I lived before, where, yeah, I just wouldn't eat any food that was given to me unless my, like, parents made it, or it was, from my house. So,
So did you always carry Benadryl and EpiPen with you?
Yes, I always carried an EpiPen, always, still now. And then Benadryl, less so because they found out that Benadryl is actually not effective. It's effective for the external reactions, but really for those like life-threatening, it's not useful. So I stopped bringing Benadryl probably once they said that, which I'm not sure exactly what year that was.
So then when you were in freshman year, you started immunotherapy. And immunotherapy means to help change the immune system so maybe you can tolerate milk. Can you tell us about the discussion? Who brought up the possibility and what did you think about it?
Yeah, so I had a couple of opportunities before I started oral immunotherapy at UCLA. When I was 8 years old, I still was going to Stanford in the Bay Area, and I was offered to be a part of a study for a milk patch. And so a milk patch is similar to a peanut patch where they place a patch on your arm, and it's supposed to protect you from reactions when you have that patch on. And so I was offered to be a part of that study to see if it is effective for milk. And at that point, I was scared. It was only 3 years after I had anaphylaxis, and so I was just, like, scared of ever trying dairy again, and so I decided not to do it. And then once we moved to San Diego, we started thinking about it again because a lot of, like, the doctors brought it up, like, would you be interested in doing and being a part of oral immunotherapy? And a lot of the times, like, my mom was like, it would be really helpful for her because the end goal, of course, is, like, my mom wants to always keep me safe, my parents too. And so they, especially like for college and stuff, and so they really were pushing to find like a program that would help me with this allergy. And so we started going to SoCal Food Allergy Clinic, which is different than typical oral immunotherapy. I believe this was my seventh year of school. Yeah, seventh grade. And so it was different in the sense that it didn't go to like milk right away. It was kind of like, you're like building, on that tolerance in some ways. So it's kind of a scam in some ways because it was going to take me 5 years to even get to milk, which was, not, applicable for my life at least. And where I was, and so, because it started with, like, nuts, and then, like, fruit, and then it got to, like, different animal milks, like, I would drink, like, horse milk, and that part just, like, it didn't seem like it was worth it in some ways, and so that is when we went to UCLA, and we, like, did an appointment with a doctor, and for me, I was really, like, I knew it would be beneficial to do, but I was really hesitant to do it because I was like, this allergy, I've had it for so long. This is like, I felt like it was part of who I am. And so it felt like almost like at the time, it felt like if I started doing this, like one, I felt like I would be losing like part of my identity. And then also it's just like my entire life, like my mom would always tell me like, I mean, you're not missing out. Like milk is not that good for you anyway. Like, you're really not missing out. And so, like, I had that kind of ingrained in my brain, too. Like, there is no reason why I would want to drink it. Because for me, it's something that I don't think I would even like and stuff. And so I was, like, really hesitant to even, like, try it and go for it. But in the end, I decided, you know what? This is for my safety. I don't have to drink it. After this, like, I don't have to, like, incorporate it into my diet. I just need to consume enough of it that it keeps me safe for college and, like, my life in the future. So that's why I decided to start doing oral immunotherapy.
I think you said something really important, that you felt that not having milk was part of identity. And I often meet patients who have a chronic problem, but they don't want to give it up because it's part of them. And part of the therapy, part of the way to help them is to realize, well, yes, it's part of your identity, but you're allowed to change it. And you can have developed a different kind of identity that works better for you. So you decided at the age of was it, how old were you, 13?
Yeah, 13, 14.
But then you said, earlier you said, well, so how do they give you the milk? Is it a teaspoon of milk? Is it like in a powder? How do you get the milk?
Yeah, so I started, it was the first day we went in, and I started with just milk powder. And at least for milk, that's what they do. I think for peanut and other allergies, it's also a powder. It's the easiest to handle because they have to use a Joule scale because it's such a tiny, tiny amount. It's probably like a crumb size. So they started with, just to see how my body reacts to it and stuff, they started with 5 milligrams of milk powder. And so that is, yeah, way tiny. It's so tiny. And they put it on a, like, Joule scale, for jewelry, and they gave it to me, and I believe it was, like, yogurt, like, dairy-free yogurt, to, like, mask the milk powder, so I wouldn't, like, taste it, and, yeah, that's how they, like, served it.
How scared were you on the first day?
So scared. I was like really, really scared because I was like, this is gonna, I kind of felt like, oh my gosh, this is gonna kill me because it's so, like, to me, I've always grown up and I've seen it as like poison, right? Because it's something that like could kill me technically. And so I was like scared out of my mind. I was like my heart was like beating so fast. I think I even cried too when I was like eating it because it was so scary to me. But once I did it, I felt like so proud and so relieved.
And so the therapy, do you take milk every day and you just increase it or every week? How do you, what's the protocol?
Yeah, so the first about, I'd say like for me, it was about a year. You can go at whatever pace, the doctor feels best and what the patient feels is best. For me, I did, it took me about a year to get to what they call a maintenance dose, which is the dose you kind of, stay at steadily. And, for me, I like started with 10 milligrams. So they did, they split up on the first day, they split up the 5 milligrams 30 minutes apart to see how my body would handle it. And then I did 10 milligrams, for about 3 weeks. And then they slowly increased the dosage amount every 3 weeks or so for me.
You take it every day?
Yes, I take it every day. And for me, and for most patients as well, it kind of consumes your life, especially that first year, because you're not allowed to get sweaty or raise your heart rate or anything like that. So you can't take showers. You can't exercise an hour before you take the dosage amount and then 2 hours after, at least 2 hours after. And so for me, it was really hard because I actually had to kind of quit some of my extracurriculars that I've been doing for a really long time. And so that part was also really hard because it's like, wow, I'm like giving up my entire life for this. And so that part was hard to like also kind of manage and stuff, but yeah, it's like every day at least for the first year or so, and then things change after like the maintenance dose.
And is the reason you can't exercise is that in case your heart rate goes up, you know it's from the milk as opposed to exercise?
Yeah, so the heart rate is because they've noticed like through studies and stuff that when the heart rate rises, there's an increased chance that for a reaction to happen.
Interesting. And so what's your maintenance dose now? How much do you take every day?
Right now I take between 18 to 20 milliliters. So that's almost an ounce. 30 milliliters is an ounce of milk.
If you're drinking milk now? Cow's milk?
Yes. So yeah. So about, once you get to probably about, I'd say like 10 milliliters, even before that, you transition from milk powder to actual milk because the milk powder becomes, like, way too much and it's just, like, not enjoyable to consume. So they switch it from milk powder to milk. Yeah.
Are you allowed to bake the milk into something good, like pancakes or cookies?
Some days, yes, I could. However, When you bake actually milk, it loses some of the protein. A part of the protein gets killed off, so you're not actually getting the full dosage amount when you have big dairy. So they say like you can incorporate it, but like you can't, you shouldn't make that your dose amount.
So as you were increasing your milk dose, did you have? I know you've got more anxious. You can tell us about that in a moment. But did you have any physical symptoms ever?
Yeah, so the first, I'd say, year, it was very hard physically. Me, I was fortunate. I was actually taking like a shot that also helped. So I was doing Dupixent, which is actually for like eczema and different things. And so I was taking Dupixent to help. And so I only experienced probably an itchy mouth and an occasional like stomach ache the first year.
So it wasn't too bad physically.
Yeah, so it wasn't horrible physically, but the anxiety part was definitely more difficult for me.
Exactly. So when we come back from break, I want to hear all about your anxiety and then how you handled it, because I know, I'm told you handled it beautifully. So we'll be right back after these messages. This is Centerpoint with Dr. Ron Unbar.
Coming attraction, Life Guide for Teens, Harnessing Your Inner Power to Be Healthy, Happy, and Confident. A new book by Dr. Ron Unbar to be published early 2025. Dr. Ambar's renowned counseling practice, Centerpoint Medicine, doesn't fix teens who are struggling. They give them the tools to heal themselves and support them while that healing happens. Life Guide for Teens will share Dr. Ambar's tools for self-empowerment and give teens hundreds of tips to choose from to help themselves heal. The book will be available from Amazon and wherever fine books are sold.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Healing and changing children's lives with hypnosis is very real and very possible. Dr. Ron Ambar's new book, Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis, provides you meaningful stories and expert explanations to show you not only the process of hypnosis, but its many benefits for overall wellness. Whether a parent, practitioner, or medical doctor, this book opens the way to complete connection, so necessary for healing. Get your copy of Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis at Amazon.com or visit DrAnbar.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Dr. Ron Unbar and his dedicated team of healthcare providers offer unique health services to help patients overcome psychological roadblocks or use the power of their minds to improve their overall health and well-being. At Centerpoint Medicine, with services in La Jolla, California and Syracuse, New York, this caring staff are waiting just to help you. Find out more at CenterpointMedicine.com. Can't wait? Make your appointment now. Call 858-201-4001. That's 858-201-4001.
Audiobooks gives you instant access to over 50,000 of the bestsellers and hottest book titles in romance, mystery, fiction, and many other genres. Just visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Audiobooks to get started.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
If you are a medical or licensed healthcare professional or just anyone looking for a qualified hypnosis practitioner, then go on over to ASCH.net. That's the American Society of Clinical Hypnosis. At ASCH.net, you can get certified, attend workshops, and even find a hypnosis practitioner or consultant. ASCH provides an opportunity to learn and interact with colleagues. So whether you're a professional wanting to learn hypnosis or a patient wanting help with a problem, visit ASCH.net now.
More exhilarating talk. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Center Point. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Unbar. Our special guest is Rhea, who is sharing with us how it is to live with a terrible milk allergy, and even getting immunotherapy is not exactly a walk in the park. So you started milk, the immunotherapy, when you were a freshman in high school, and mm-hmm. you said earlier you got nervous because the whole life you thought of milk as a poison. So how did that feel? Can you share that?
Yeah, so it was really difficult for me in the beginning. Even now it can be, but with the help of like therapy and stuff, I've gotten better. But yeah, the thoughts that would go through my head is like, will I be okay this time? Like, will, like, I have a reaction this time when I consume it? So it was very stressful, especially that first year when I was still experiencing, like, physical symptoms. And I noticed, as my anxiety would increase with the taking the dose, or, like, if I would have, like, a extra, like, stressful day, I noticed that I would experience more physical symptoms that weren't necessarily associated with the milk, but more they were heightened because of the anxiety that I would experience. So I would experience, like, a red face. I would, like, kind of sweat and, like, get really nervous. And so that sometimes led to panic attacks and stuff, which would sometimes cause me to feel, like, tightness in my throat and stuff that would really throw me off and, like, really mess with my head, because then the next time I went to take that dose, I felt even more stressed and even more anxiety, even though I knew that even if I did have a reaction, an EpiPen would save me, and the reaction wouldn't be as severe. That is the point of oral immunotherapy, is that even if you do have a reaction, you're taking such a low amount that your body can handle, that even if you did have a reaction, it would be less heightened, less severe. And so even though I knew that, there was still the anxiety aspect that was just, like, so, like, difficult and so hard to overcome.
Were you anxious throughout the day, or just before you're going to take the milk, or for 2 hours after the milk? How did the anxiety travel through the day?
Yeah, so what I remember is that during the day, I was totally fine when I was at school, because it was, I feel like, a different environment, where I don't obviously take the milk dose at school. I was not nervous at school at all for it, but when I came home and during the beginning I would take the dose right after school, I was really nervous. Like, I would feel like my heart was racing, and like I would start getting really sweaty, and like throughout the dosage time of the 2 hours after, I would feel that same anxiety. So it was like really difficult for me to, like, do my homework and stuff, because I was, like, consumed in the head with, like, these thoughts. But once that timer, because I would set timers, right? Once the two-hour timer ended, I was totally fine. And so it was that, like, anxiety that was, like, that happened after and a little bit before taking that dose, that was, like, so difficult to overcome, because I knew it was, like, nothing to do with the milk. It was just my head.
Now, speaking of anxiety, even before the immunotherapy, if you thought you got in contact with a milk product, or if you smelled like cheeseburgers, a milk product, would that set you off?
Sometimes it would, sometimes it wouldn't. Before oral immunotherapy, I do remember this one time where I went into a Starbucks and I couldn't stay there because the amount of, like, the milk steaming, that smell was so much and so, like, over-consuming that it made me feel, like, physically sick. I mean, like, my stomach would hurt and stuff, and I was like, oh, I can't stay here. This is too much. Similar feeling, like, in a movie theater still is, where, like, that popcorn, like, the buttered popcorn, that smell is so, like, overpowering for me that I would, like, it, like, kind of, like, makes me feel sick inside. But I'd say, like, after starting the oral immunotherapy, less so, where I don't feel, like, that, like, sickness when I smell it, or, like, when, like, I used to react when, like, cheese powder dust would get on from, like Cheetos and stuff would get on my skin. I used to, like, react and get hives. That doesn't happen anymore, which is something I'm really thankful for.
And it gives you the knowledge that you're getting better.
Yeah, exactly.
Somebody's word. Now, whose idea was it to go get therapy for your anxiety?
That was actually my mom's idea. So my sister actually started going to Center Point Medicine before I did, because she was dealing with her own anxiety. And so my mom was like, she noticed that I was having a lot of anxiety, especially my sophomore year when school started to get a little bit more difficult. I started feeling a little, like, way more overwhelmed with it, even though I knew I could handle it and I had been handling it for over a year. I started feeling even more stressed out from it. And so my mom decided to go to a consulting appointment and see how I liked it, see if it's something that would help me. And so, yeah, that's how I first came.
And what do you remember being told? Did it make sense to you that hypnosis or counseling could help? What were you told when you first came?
Yeah, so I thought it was really interesting, the whole hypnosis, like, way of approaching anxiety, because I had gone to a therapist years before, and it was very different. Obviously, I was a kid, so it was more of, like, art-based and, like, showing emotion through that. But I thought hypnosis was very different, and I thought it could be really helpful, because I do remember, I think it was, the appointment was actually with you, and it was really helpful for me to, like, see how your thoughts and, like, the way you frame your thoughts plays a huge role in how you approach different scenarios and stuff. And I remember there was one exercise that you taught me where it's like you like raise your arms out, and if you say like I'm strong, you can, when like someone pushed on your shoulders, your arms wouldn't go down. But if you say like negative words, such as like I'm weak, those arms would fall because you're negatively putting into the like world that you're you don't feel confident and stuff. So I thought that was really interesting.
And what was the take home message for you when you realized that your mindset can affect your strength? What did you take home with that?
Yeah, so that night actually when I did the dose, I said like I'm safe, I will be safe, I will be healthy, I'll stay cool and calm. And those thoughts really helped me overcome, like, taking that dose and, like, feeling more confident and calm in my body and in myself. And so it was a game changer, honestly, for me.
So that's the purpose of that exercise, to for people to realize how much power they have.
Yeah.
So then you met Amy. And
yes.
Can you recall some of the techniques she taught you that helped as well?
Yeah, so one technique she taught me was like closing my eyes and like breathing and like grounding myself, and then kind of taking me through almost like taking myself through a scenario that would that I would encounter when taking the milk dose, and then changing what happens in those like events. So like in my brain imagining that change and shift in how I approached it really helped me like imagine and then actually doing it in real life.
So you imagined how you want to be and then you became it.
Yes, exactly.
Very interesting, because we talk about what we think is what we become. Buddha said that 2,700 mm-hmm. years ago. Well, when we come back, I want to hear a lot more details about how you learn to control your allergic reactions and maybe how you used hypnosis in other ways in your life. We'll be right back after these messages. This is Centerpoint with Dr. Ron Anbar.
Make-A-Wish has been granting life-changing wishes for children and families for over 40 years. A wish is something that gives children the opportunity to look outside their illness and restore a sense of childhood back to the child. With the help of donors and more than 43,000 worldwide volunteers, Make-A-Wish has collectively granted more than 520,000 wishes worldwide. Dr. Anbar has referred many patients to Make-A-Wish. To make a donation, go to worldwish.org. That's worldwish.org.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
Healing and changing children's lives with hypnosis is very real and very possible. Dr. Ron Anbar's new book, Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis, provides you meaningful stories and expert explanations to show you not only the process of hypnosis, but its many benefits for overall wellness. Whether a parent, practitioner, or medical doctor, this book opens the way to complete connection, so necessary for healing. Get your copy of Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis at Amazon.com or visit DrAnbar.com.
Reach your health and fitness goals. Whether you want to lose weight, learn to dance, build muscle, or just live healthy, Beachbody gives you unlimited access to the nation's most popular fitness and weight loss solutions. Visit our advertiser page and click on Beachbody now.
Dr. Ron Ambar and his dedicated team of healthcare providers offer unique health services to help patients overcome psychological roadblocks or use the power of their minds to improve their overall health and well-being. At Centerpoint Medicine with services in La Jolla, California and Syracuse, New York, this caring staff are waiting just to help you. Find out more at centerpointmedicine.com. Can't wait? Make your appointment now. Call 858-201-4001. That's 858-201-4001.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Coming attraction, life guide for teens harnessing your inner power to be healthy, happy, and confident. A new book by Dr. Ron Ambar to be published early 2025. Dr. Ambar's renowned counseling practice, Centerpoint Medicine, doesn't fix teens who are struggling. They give them the tools to heal themselves and support them while that healing happens. Life Guide for Teens will share Dr. Ambar's tools for self-empowerment and give teens hundreds of tips to choose from to help themselves heal. The book will be available from Amazon and wherever fine books are sold.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Center Point. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Ambar, a special guest, Rhea, who has a bad milk allergy, and I shouldn't say it's bad. It's something you deal with. And we're learning about how Rhea learned to use mind-body regulation to deal with her anxiety. So you learned how to walk us through a typical day, how you'd use what Amy taught you, that imagery, to help yourself.
Yeah, okay. So that hypnosis is actually applicable in many parts of my life. I also struggled a lot with, like, school and taking tests and stuff and that anxiety, and so I would actually use it before I took a test. So I would get to the classroom, and then before the test, I would, like, sit down. I wouldn't close my eyes because I didn't want to be, like, noticeable, but I would, like, calm my breathing. I would, like, settle myself, ground myself, and then I would kind of imagine, like, staying calm through the exam instead of, like, freaking out or, like, rushing because I was, like, scared about time and stuff like that. And so a similar thing I would do with the dose, the milk dose. So probably about, I'd say, like, 10 minutes, 5 minutes before I would take the dose, I would kind of settle myself. I would breathe. I would walk myself through handling the milk dose by staying calm, by staying healthy, by staying kind of collected. And then I'd transfer that into actually doing it. And so sometimes I would even, like, as I was taking that, I would also do a hypnosis where I would imagine myself, like, maybe in a cool place, like in the Arctic or somewhere like that, where I would be really cool and icy, because sometimes I would feel, like, really warm or hot before I took the dose from nerves. And so I would imagine myself in a really cool and cold environment while I was taking the dose, and I imagined that milk was actually a different drink that I was drinking, and it would really help, like, cool my body and make me feel calm and grounded.
So did it work? Did it change your experience with the immunotherapy?
Yes, totally. It totally changed my experience, because I was able to feel calm and cool and throughout the entire dose. And if I ever felt like heightened anxiety for whatever reason, I would just sit down and do it again, and it really helped me.
So far we've talked about the positive talk example I taught you, and then the imagery, how you want it to be, that Amy taught. Did you learn any other hypnosis techniques over the years?
Those, I'd say, were the main ones that were most helpful for me. I think really what really helped me were those techniques of, like, reframing my thoughts, and hypnosis through imagery were really helpful for me. I don't know if there were any other hypnosis techniques that I personally used and were really helpful for me, but yeah.
Did you ever talk to your inner advisor, your subconscious, ever do that?
Yes, you did do that one time, and that was really interesting because I never thought I could do that. and like have my subconscious like speak to me, and it's so interesting. I really do want to try it again because now it's been a couple of years since I've done it, but it's very interesting because she was able to speak to my subconscious and understand parts of my like thoughts and my thought process that I didn't even acknowledge and didn't even know. And so it was really very cool for me to see how my thoughts and like all like subconsciously play in my mind. And yeah,
so you haven't routinely incorporated the subconscious as much as
no I haven't.
And so how does it feel, Rhea, that you using your mind could change how you feel so dramatically? What kind of message does that give you?
I mean, it makes me feel so empowered, like I really can do anything that I put my mind to. Because before this, I really wasn't as confident as I am now in my like body and in my mind. Where especially this year, I've seen so much growth in myself, where I feel like I really can do well in anything that I put my mind to. And it's really made me, yeah, way more confident in everything I do, in the dose, in school, in future life. It's made me feel like I can handle anything that will come, and I will be able to handle. So, yeah.
Now, do you tell your friends what's going on, and how do they, if you do, how do they react?
Yeah, actually, I do, my friends do know all about this, and last month, actually, me and my friends, we went to not a vegan ramen place, but a ramen place, without my parents or anything, and it was the first time I'd ever eaten out without parents, not out at a vegan restaurant a restaurant that I knew was all dairy-free, and it was really scary at first when I first tried it, but it was so great, and my friends were so proud of me that I ate the food, I ate all of it, and I was totally fine, and it felt amazing.
So you mentioned your parents, so we know your mom was really anxious when you started this therapy as well. What happened to her anxiety over the last few years?
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know exactly, but I feel that she has gotten way calmer. She is still nervous, obviously, for, like, college and stuff, but she knows that my body is safe and my body will be able to handle, and I will be able to overcome anything that happens to me because of this treatment, because of my new hypnosis techniques. And she really is way calmer, way less anxious about my food allergy, about my future, about all that, yeah.
Do you know if your mom ever learned the hypnosis techniques for herself? Did you teach her?
Yes, I did teach her, and she actually does use, like, framing your thoughts and, like, doing, like, some hypnosis, like, breathing exercises like that, and so she does find it really helpful, so.
The experience you had with your mom being anxious initially and then both of you calming down at the same time is fairly common. If a parent is anxious, the child, especially if they're attuned to their parent, becomes anxious as well, and it's like a catch-22. And as happened with you, when you learned to calm down, she also learned to calm down. It's really quite remarkable to see families working together.
Yeah, it really is.
I remember, a little off topic, but this child was afraid of leaving home, and I taught her how to calm herself, and same. This was a younger child, maybe she was 6. And then she came back to the office, and she had left home without permission, just played in the front yard. And the mother found out about it, I guess, in the office. I'm not quite sure where. And she yelled at her. She says, "You might have been kidnapped had you done that." And I'm thinking to myself, okay, I know where this child became anxious from.
Mm-hmm.
That did not happen to your family, but you became anxious because of a terrible episode when you were 5 years old. And
I think it's both too, because I think it was that event, but also my parents, like, their anxiety with it, too, because obviously they had to protect me first before I could protect myself. And so their anxiety did rub off on me of, like, oh, should I be anxious? Should I be, like, nervous about the whole situation? So, yeah.
And in some ways, you needed to be anxious. In fact, a little bit of anxiety is a good thing. You need to, especially before immunotherapy, you have to watch out for milk products. You've got to be anxious about it. Otherwise, something bad will happen. It's when the anxiety becomes overbearing that you need to treat it. Otherwise, a little bit of anxiety can be helpful. We'll be right back after these messages. This is Centerpoint with Dr. Ron Unber.
More than 30,000 children and adults of every race and ethnic group in the U.S. have cystic fibrosis. Cystic fibrosis is a disease causing long-lasting lung infections, limiting the ability to breathe over time. Dr. Anbar participated in research that helped advance survival of cystic fibrosis patients by more than 20 years. He encourages you to donate to the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation to help find a cure. It's easy to donate. Go to cff.org. That's cff.org.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
If you are a medical or licensed healthcare professional or just anyone looking for a qualified hypnosis practitioner, then go on over to ASCH.net. That's the American Society of Clinical Hypnosis. At ASCH.net, you can get certified, attend workshops, and even find a hypnosis practitioner or consultant. ASCH provides an opportunity to learn and interact with colleagues. So whether you're a professional wanting to learn hypnosis or a patient wanting help with a problem, visit ASCH.net now.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
Healing and changing children's lives with hypnosis is very real and very possible. Dr. Ron Ambar's new book, Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis, provides you meaningful stories and expert explanations to show you not only the process of hypnosis, but its many benefits for overall wellness. Whether a parent, practitioner, or medical doctor, this book opens the way to complete connection, so necessary for healing. Get your copy of Changing Children's Lives with Hypnosis at Amazon.com. Or visit dranbar.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Dr. Ron Ambar and his dedicated team of healthcare providers offer unique health services to help patients overcome psychological roadblocks or use the power of their minds to improve their overall health and well-being. At Centerpoint Medicine with services in La Jolla, California and Syracuse, New York, this caring staff are waiting just to help you. Find out more at centerpointmedicine.com. Can't wait? Make your appointment now. Call 858-201-4001. That's 858-201-4001.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Centerpoint. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Anbar. Our special guest, Rhea, is sharing her life experiences in dealing with a severe milk allergy. And do you think that your allergic responses have changed? It's hard to tell because you're doing immunotherapy, but do you think they might have improved because of the hypnosis as well?
Yes, I definitely think so, because I've noticed that as I utilize, like, my hypnosis techniques, I react less, I get less anxious, and that directly impacts on, like, how I react to, like, the milk and things like that. And so I really do think that there has been improvement, even though I can't fully tell because I haven't fully, like, had, like, a lot of milk where I would see a big reaction. But I definitely do think it has improved how I react and the extent to which I react.
We definitely know that in allergies in general, I don't know in you specifically, Rhea, but allergies in general have a big psychological component. So let's say you have a mild milk allergy, not a severe one, and you've had some reactions that scare you, and I give you a capsule that contains milk powder versus a capsule that contains sugar, a placebo. If I tell you the capsule contains milk powder, you'll have a reaction. If I tell you it doesn't have it, you won't have a reaction, even if there's milk in that capsule. So one's expectation of allergic reactions, especially mild reactions, cause symptoms sometimes. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that is exactly right, because I used to do this one thing where I'd have my parents, like, fill up two jars full of, one is with dairy milk, one is just all almond milk, and I wouldn't know, and they would switch it up, and they would ask me, is this the milk one, or is it the dairy-free one? And so it was really interesting, because I thought there would be a difference, and I could tell, but there really, in some ways, wasn't. Another thing that I noticed is when my dad used to measure out the milk amount, and some days he would put less than the dosage amount, and then some days he would put more, but I wouldn't know. And when I thought he put more, I would react more, and I would become more anxious when really there was less. So it's really interesting how that works.
Yeah, and this actually doesn't just affect people with milk allergy. It affects people across the board with various symptoms, be it diabetes or irritable bowel syndrome or inflammatory bowel disease. The person's state of mind, and you mentioned when you're anxious about school, you had more symptoms. So the person's state of mind can affect illness in ways that people don't realize. And it's so important to understand that, because in people who deal with chronic illness, and your milk allergy was a chronic, it's a lifelong illness, psychology, the mind is always involved, and our mindset can make the symptoms worse or better. But most people don't realize it. They go to the doctor and say, you know, fix me or something. But this is why I strongly believe that any person with a chronic illness should at least be offered opportunity to learn self-regulation, to learn how to use hypnosis to calm themselves, because they may find they're a lot better once they're calm, even without the immunotherapy, in your case. And such and your experience, I think, hopefully teaches our listeners that. So don't assume, or in positive terms, if you have a chronic problem, could it be mental health or physical health, know that you can help yourself by learning how to self-regulate. How much you'll help, you'll find out. Sometimes people have chronic symptoms, they learn hypnosis, and their symptoms go away. They're done. That's not common, but it happens. And other times they just get better. Either way, you improve, which is something you demonstrate so well, Rhea.
Exactly.
So, is there a tip you want to give our audience based on your experience that you think they should employ today based on what you learned, either about allergies or hypnosis or how to be empowered? What would you tell them?
Yeah, I mean, I think definitely utilizing reframing your thoughts into more positive ones is so useful just in everyday scenarios. For me personally, it's made me happier, a happier person with less, like, anger and less disappointment. And to be honest, I think it can be so helpful for anything that you do, any situation, because it is so impactful to just reframe those negative thoughts and into more positive ones, where for me, especially with like my milk dose and stuff, I was able to overcome like certain situations that made me more anxious and more afraid of taking that milk dose. But by reframing those thoughts and saying, it's any other day, it'll be all the same, like, I will be okay, it's so helpful, and it gave me so much comfort in just saying, like, those words and putting them out into the universe. And so I really do think that reframing your thoughts into more positive ones is really helpful and really important to utilize in your life.
So just to be perfectly clear, give us an example of a negative thought and then how you would reframe that thought, just so people understand what that means.
Okay, so, for example, I'm about to take, like, my milk dose, and I feel really hot. And so the thoughts that kind of go through my head is, like, oh, my gosh, I'm hot. I'm going to have an allergic reaction because my heart rate is up, I'm feeling sweaty, and feeling hot, and that's what the doctors told me to avoid. And so to reframe those thoughts, I'll say, usually before my dose, I say, I'm calm, cool, and collected, and I will stay healthy. And those words are positive, they're all positive, and they all gave me comfort, they gave me confidence that I can take this dose, and I can be calm, cool, collected, and stay healthy.
Excellent. Now let's do another one. Let's say you have a test tomorrow and you're really nervous, you might not do well. How would you reframe that?
Yeah, so my thoughts would probably be like, oh my gosh, I'm not prepared enough, I'm going to fail, I can't do multiple choice, for example, because I don't like multiple choice. And so those are kind of like the thoughts. And then I would say, Rhea, no, you can do this. You are smart. And even if, like, you will be able to take this test, you are prepared enough, you study, things like that, they're all very positive. And so they kind of counteract the negative thought, and they become more positive ones that grow confidence and make you feel more, like, prepared and feel better about the situation.
All right, one more. Do you ever have negative thoughts in dance?
Yeah, actually, sometimes.
Like,
so when I'm naturally kind of like a shyer person, and so sometimes when I have to perform, I get like really nervous, like I'm going to make a mistake, and I'll be in front of like all these people, and so I'm like, Rhea, you can do it. You have practiced, you're good. So what if you make a mistake too? Because like no one will see that. And so it's like positive thoughts that like, you can do this, you are a great dancer, you're prepared, and you know the choreography. And so those thoughts really do help me, and like they reframe those negative thoughts that are going through my head.
Yeah, so you're using good affirmations. One of the things I will say about mistakes is that if you make a mistake, you're going to learn from it and come out ahead. But it doesn't really matter. You either do great or you're going to learn. Either way, you come out ahead, and that's a way of reframing mistakes.
Exactly,
well,
yeah.
Rhea, thank you so much for sharing a part of your life with us and teaching us how you overcame anxiety related to milk allergy that really had affected your life greatly. And now, hopefully, moving forward, it'll be a much more minor part of your life.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. This is Centerpoint with Dr. Ron Anbar.